Serenka wanted Pekanikuk. She watched him, but never spoke to him. She never dared to approach or reveal herself. A year of stealth had taught her his language, his habits, his dreams, his ways. The more she knew, the more she loved. The more she loved, the more she ached. The sachem's eldest son did not go unnoticed by the women of his tribe. A quiet Keeksqua watched him, too. Serenka noticed the way she smiled at him, the way she brought her work to the shore while Pekanikuk burned and scraped his first dugout canoe. And why shouldn't the Keeksqua want him? His glossy black hair glinted blue in the morning sun, his skin beaded with sweat, his eyes shone as he worked with single-minded passion on the boat. Serenka read the Keeksqua's shy silence for the desperate proclamation that it really was. The girl wanted Pekanikuk too. She wanted a smile that was meant only for her. She wanted to know his deepest thoughts. She wanted to see him lift beautiful sons onto his shoulders and hug their warm, bare feet to his chest. She wanted to grow old with him. She wanted him to save her from emptiness. Serenka's smoldering ache ignited into a fire. She spent all of her time near the shore now and ignored her sister's beseeching to join her below, where it was safe, where she was supposed to be, where she could not tolerate being. On the day Pekanikuk finished the boat, his younger brother and his mother's brother helped him drag the charred dugout to the edge of the water. They watched as he paddled it out, and they leaped and shouted with pride to see how true it glided and how stable it was, even in the heavy chop of that day, even when he stood and deliberately tried to tip it. One corner of the Keeksqua's plump lips lifted silently with joy while she pretended to bore holes into stone sinkers. Serenka studied them all from behind an algae-green rock. But early the next day, the Keeksqua was gone. Pekanikuk's brother and his mother's brother were gone. Pekanikuk was alone when Serenka became entangled in his fishing net. Swimming a short distance from the dugout, she was distracted by the rhythm of his body as he plunged the paddle in the dark water, lifting his weight off his knees, stroking a heartbeat into the quiet morning. She forgot that he had set a net the evening before. It was cleverly anchored with rocks and suspended with cattail bundles until the fiber mesh collapsed around her and her own surprised thrashing caught her fin fast. Working quickly, she was almost free by the time he had turned his boat and eased it over the net. She was curled upon herself, tugging at her dark tail with her thick white hair in a bloom around her when she felt the cool shadow of the dugout move across her skin. She looked up and her eyes caught his. They were brown-black, the color of a chestnut tumbling in the surf. Her own eyes would alarm him, she knew. She saw him take in a breath. He did not reach for his club, although he could have. He did not reach for his bow. He watched. She attended to the net and her tail. She lifted her arm and slashed at the remaining strands with the fin on her wrist, cutting herself loose. She looked back up and slowly rose from the deep, shoulder hunched and face to the side. Her cheek broke the surface first. He didn't recoil. She smiled, careful not to show her teeth. Kwe, she said in his own Wampanoag. Kwe, he whispered. She tried to keep her voice smooth and quiet, unthreatening. I am sorry. I broke your net. He shook his head almost imperceptibly from side to side. He wasn't angry. She saw him swallow. This is the finest mishun I have ever seen, she said, sliding her fingertips along the hull of the boat as she swam its length.
Thank you, he said.
And then he seemed to remember something, perhaps that he had a club and a bow, and that he was the sachem's eldest son.
Who are you? He demanded.
I am Serenka. You are Pekanikuk.
How do you know my name?
She had never been this close to him. The muscles in his forearm extended as he unclenched his fist. She followed his arm to his shoulder, to his angular jaw, to his broad nose, and then his unwavering eyes.
I have seen you, fishing. I hear others call you. I follow you. I listen.
Why do you follow me? She stroked the edge of the boat.
You are not ready for the answer.